Hello, everybody, and welcome to the AMPM podcast. My name is Manny Coates, and I will be your host. And this is the show where we discuss all things Amazon private label and how to generate recurring revenue streams 24 hours per day during the AM and the PM, hence the name of the show. Get it? AMPM podcast. As a matter of fact, the first total solar eclipse in 38 years just hit the United States. And while I was out there viewing this incredibly rare event, I was making money. How cool is that? Pretty cool, I think. Hey, everybody. I am here with Carlos Alvarez. Carlos is in Miami, and he's been selling for, 10 years on Amazon? Or no, 10
full-time,
years?
Full-time for 10.
10 years. Okay, one of the longest selling guys I've actually met. And you've got three brands. If I understand, two of the three brands actually do six figures per year. Is that right?
That's correct.
Cool. Well, welcome to the show, first of all. I've been trying to get you on for a little while, and we ran into each other.
Been trying to get on for a while.
There you go. We ran into each other at Boost. That was an interesting event, and a cool little party they had there, right?
Real cool.
Yeah, yeah. So what's interesting, guys, about Carlos here is, and I'm going to find out about all this stuff as we go. This is going to be live, and we're going to be discovering it together. But I did see a video. Actually, I saw a couple of videos of what you do, and you're in the insect business. Is that right?
I am.
All right. So before I even ask you, well, actually, no, people always want to know right off the bat. You have two figures that are six figures. So clearly, I don't know if you want to say your numbers, but where are you? What kind of revenue did you do last month?
Last month, I would have to pull up. It pretty much averages out across the year. One of the brands is about 1.6 million a year, and the other one is a little over a million.
Okay, and is that in the U.S. only? Is that where you're selling?
No, it's throughout everywhere Amazon has a platform. We're on either on the seller central side of the relationship or the vendor side of the relationship.
Okay, and when you have three brands, you say, is that in one account or is that multiple accounts?
Multiple accounts. I have a total over time with Amazon's blessing of close to 13 Seller Central accounts.
Okay. All right. Wow. All right. So you're the veteran here. And I know from your resume here, you actually do this. You help people with consulting, with their sourcing, with their launching, vendor management, all that kind of stuff, right? You have over 40 clients?
Yes, 41 over the last 7 years. I got into that about 7 years ago. I always loved the startups, helping people launch, thinking outside of the box. Like, that's what makes me tick. So
cool. Well, we're going to be posting this in our group, and people will tag you. And if people have questions about that, they want to reach out to you, they're more than welcome. That would
absolutely
be pretty awesome. So, all right, going back to the insects, tell me about this. How does that work? Do you sell these things? You don't sell these on Amazon, do you?
Oh yeah,
oh, you do?
Live insects on Amazon, absolutely. I started, it's one of the first businesses I started completely accidentally. I was trying to make some income on the side, selling stuff around the house on eBay, and branched out to start making it a full-time business. I was a AC tech at the time and working in a cigar shop. And I walked into this pet store and saw that they were selling, 25 live worms for, I think, like $20 at the time. And at that time, it was a whole different point in my life. I was like thinking, I'll go dig worms up at that rate, and it doesn't matter. So I looked into it. I reached out to some professors and some colleges and stuff like that, went in to find out how the process worked. Mm-hmm. I started selling them and blew the business up, selling live insects on eBay and Amazon, mostly to reptile owners at the time. But I started with selling 1,000 here and there, and at the end of it, we were selling about close to 2 million insects a day.
A day. I didn't even know that you could sell live things on Amazon. So
you can. They're not going to let you stick a million crickets in the FBA center, but yeah, merchant fulfilled, and now we're playing around with some like vendor fulfilled Prime and stuff like that.
Okay, interesting. So how many insect ASINs do you have?
Well, right now, that initial brand that we had, it did so well, we sold the business back then. And my non-compete recently ended about a year ago. So we're still in the process of restarting this business. I didn't know I would revisit it. When I sold it, I thought I was done. But I missed them, actually. So I restarted the business.
And you missed the critters. How long ago did you sell it?
Wow, this would have been 8 years ago, seven and a half, 8 years ago.
How much did you get for it? What'd you sell it for?
Six figures.
Insect business. That's cool. All right. So now you've gotten back into this, and do you have different? Are there variations? Like, is that how it works?
Oh, absolutely. You can buy them per 1,000, per 500, per 250, and on Amazon, it's predominantly the the reptile owners that want to buy, but I've also made some connections overseas where in most countries it's for human consumption, actually. Mm-hmm. And they'll buy it by the barrel.
By the barrel? Just right. Food to eat, like crickets?
Right.
What do they eat?
Oh, they eat them. They'll saute them. I can't say that I've ever tried one or I ever will, but they're healthy. They're FDA approved. Recently, the FDA in the U.S. has made it permissible to put them into protein powder supplements and bread.
This is going to be the best podcast ever. Awesome. All right, cool. I'm so fascinated. Oh, man. Okay, so going back, how many SKUs do you have with insects, would you say, roughly?
16.
16 SKUs, and what kind of, how many different types of insects do you sell?
Dubai roaches, crickets, and, well, they call them superworms. They're not really worms, but the listings are called superworms, just because they're high protein rich sources for reptiles and humans, actually.
Okay, all right. And what's a Dubai roach, you said?
Dubai roach, it looks like a roach on steroids. It looks big. It looks mean. It looks armored down like a Ninja Turtle type thing, but it's big. They don't fly. They glide too, but I feel like if you can glide more than 10 feet, that's flying. So
oh, okay.
It's interesting.
Oh, this is so crazy. All right, cool. This is awesome. How many other SKUs do you have that are non-insect related?
28.
Okay. All right, cool. And so the insects are all fulfilled by merchant. Is that right? Because you can't put them in the
That's correct.
Is that a policy? Is that what they say?
Yeah, they're not going to send them to an FBA center. You can't send live animals or any kind of live insects to the FBA center.
Okay. Yeah, I'd imagine if they're long-term storage, yeah, it destroys your inventory, right?
A couple million crickets is deafening.
I can imagine. So where do you store all these things? You have a farm?
Warehouse. Well, it's a farm, actually, because we're registered as a farm, but warehouses. Warehouse local in Miami.
And I saw in the video that you sent me, they eat carrots. Is that right?
It's one of the easiest things I've found to feed them. We can just get barrels of carrots in at a time and put them in all their in their habitats.
Okay, cool. So how many hours per day would you say that you're actually working this business now?
Just the cigars, the coffee, and the insects. I work about 60 hours a week on those.
Okay. All right. So, wow. And that's out. That doesn't even include the consulting side of stuff.
That does not include the consulting. I put in about another 25 or 30 into that. So I'm a bit of a workaholic.
Yeah.
I guess like you.
I know.
I'm trying to catch up with you
right now. Yeah. So how many people do you have actually helping you with this?
We have 14 employees locally. And for the other businesses, I manage about 242 virtual assistants.
242.
That's correct. Oh, it doubled ever since merch came around and everyone discovered there was a thing called print on demand all of a sudden. But
So you have VAs that are actually creating designs for merch, essentially? Is that what you're doing?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I can't design my way out of a wet paper bag. But yeah, they do that. The whole process of anything having to do with merch, we pretty much doubled.
Oh, that's very cool. Okay, well, I'll let you plug it. If somebody wants some artwork for merch, where do they go?
Well, I have a Facebook group. Do I put the Facebook group here? I mean, or just contact me. Tell them to comment me, and I'll connect them with one of my designers.
Perfect. All right. Sounds good. Yeah, we're going to tag you anyway, so that's cool. Right. So I don't know how far back this goes. You said 10 years, but if you could sum up very quickly, one sentence, why did you decide to actually get into this business?
It was a complete accident.
Oh, yeah? Tell me about it.
Yeah, I sold something one day on eBay before anything Amazon. Amazon was just like a book thing, I thought. And when I started I sold one thing, and it was just addictive. I've been hooked ever since. I sold something to someone I never met. They received it, left me a great review, and I was hooked. And then I just started selling everything I could get my hands on. A lot of things I probably shouldn't have sold. I just wanted to sell them, so I sold them. And then I really started ramping up my auctions. I got really good with eBay, and Amazon was reaching out to us at that time on eBay saying, hey, come try us out, you know, send our products to us and we'll sell it. And I thought that was ridiculous. How am I going to send mail my products to you and lose all that? But eventually I did it, and it was just great.
Awesome.
Sales from one day to the next. At that point, you can list anything on Amazon and it's just sold.
How much harder do you think it is today for somebody getting in versus, you know, a few years back?
Oh, you can't accidentally do it anymore. Not with private label, I feel. And I also feel if you're not going to use offline Amazon stuff anymore, you can't just get a fancy picture and just throw it up there and expect to be super successful with it.
Going back to the insects, what kind of profit margins are decent on that?
A little over 300%.
So 300% on what you pay. When it's all said and done, the actual profits on after advertising, refunds and all that, where are you at?
Per again, I just started that one up. So we're in the very, very early stages of that. I'm mostly okay. focused in that business right now on okay. just breeding my stock and getting it to a sustainable level. Because okay. if I threw a lot right now into the ranking of that product, what would happen is I would have orders coming in that I didn't have the stock.
Gotcha.
And that would set me back. Usually the turnaround from the time you start breeding to the time you have sellable inventory is about 3.5 months.
Is it a seasonal thing, essentially? Or do some of this stuff only... No?
You do it year round. It's just that okay. you have to pay very close attention to the humidity and temperatures inside there because they're affected by it. There's okay. a lot to it.
Yeah. How much money did you start this business with?
The insect business way back then, or just my businesses period, or cause I've had a few false starts. Not every brand I started in the beginning, succeeded. I made
that's,
some
that's good.
My
that's
share
good.
Of mistakes.
yeah, it's and I appreciate the honesty. A lot of people don't talk about, you know, ever having made a mistake. I made them. It sounds like you've made them. So, can somebody start with? Do you feel like they can? You know, a couple grand. Can they get started with something today that's pretty decent, or is it going to be real tough?
With a couple grand in the insect business, or just private label period?
Oh, let's say no, private label in general.
Yeah, you could do it.
Cool. All right.
I mean, if you're talking about shipping a full container over with a few thousand dollars, I would suggest something else, but.
Right. Okay, cool. Let's talk about, you said you're selling eBay right now as well? Or are you
yes.
almost
all one? Online, I'm on eBay, Amazon, Walmart, and Jet. And offline, I have my own brick and mortar dance studio. I'm in the stores of Walmart, Whole Foods, Kroger's, and hopefully soon Bass Pro.
Wow. Okay. You're all over the place. That's awesome. You're really expanding out. So what was the first do you remember what the first product you mentioned, you know, not all of them were successes. What was the first product that was not a success?
Oh, God. First product that was not a success. Private label product was in the, not sure how to say this here, but an adult novelty business.
Oh, yeah.
And it was an adult novelty product. And it wasn't that the product wasn't going to sell. The problem was I started getting some traction and selling a product. I thought I was the only person 10 years ago that knew about Alibaba, which was wrong. And I had someone that said they had a full warehouse of inventory. I just needed to send them the money. Uh-huh. Family and friends were believing in me. They gave me money. I sent it to some guy in a factory in Hong Kong, which there's no factories in Hong Kong. They're all in mainland China. I sent it and he disappeared. So everything crashed at that point.
So that was a failed product. Never even launched that product. That product just went away.
Yeah, it was. I guess at the time it was called white labeling. I never heard of private labeling back then, but it was pretty much just getting a brand, putting a sticker on it that was existing, and sending it in.
So you mentioned cigars and coffee as your two other products. Which one are they about equal in terms of your revenue streams?
No, the coffee accessories are considerably more, but the cigar accessories, we slowly started paying more attention to actual cigar shops mm-hmm. throughout the world and supplying them with less of an emphasis on Amazon. I mean, as long as Amazon keeps giving away money this easy, we're going to keep taking it. But
that's right. What's your loan up to right now? How big of a loan do you get from Amazon?
I'm not taking their loans anymore, but they're offering around 300 the last time I looked.
Nice. Okay. That's a good size. So you do accessories? You don't sell cigars, you don't sell coffee, you do accessories for these?
Yeah, I used to import tobacco from Esteli, Nicaragua, and then I kind of saw the writing on the wall with, you know, all the S-chip tax, and it was just getting too expensive to play in that field, and I figured at any day a law could come out and they would just shut down and we'd have a lot stuck over there in the field. So I backed out of that and got into the accessories.
How competitive is that market right now? Let's say the coffee accessories.
You know, I guess this is one of the only things in the world I feel cocky about is selling online. I don't care. For me, no. I feel like if you have a list offline and you have a following offline, and I'm really big into like meetup groups and farmers markets and a whole bunch of other things that I don't mind launching a garlic press at this point.
All right. So how do you launch a product? Let's say, because a lot of people are curious. They're about to get into a product. They're about to launch this. There's a million different strategies on how to get initial keyword rank, how to get, you know, sales and reviews. What do you do? What's your strategy for launching a product?
Like you said, there's a million ways to do it. And I think that's the beautiful thing with Amazon is there's no one right way. Like there's a bunch of different ways to have wild success. But me personally, I need to get into something that I'm passionate about. If I'm getting into something just to pivot to kind of, you know, raise some money for something else, that's one thing. But if I'm going to really create a brand, I need to be passionate about it personally. And I need to have off Amazon sales channels for it. For me, that's important right now. So whether it's Overstock, eBay, Walmart now is an option, stuff like that. I need to know that if the bottom drops out or, you know, 15 pages of people were to come in and drop the price low, I can sell it at what I wanted to on these other channels. If I can't, I'm not interested. Okay. But to launch, what was funny is I never really got into the whole giveaways and exchange. Not that it didn't work. I was working with some brands that were doing it. It was great. It was like magic. But I'm really big on like going when I needed reviews, say for the coffee stuff, I would just go to Yelp or Foursquare and I would type in something like coffee shop. And then these review sites would pull up, don't just type coffee shop. And it would just pull up nothing but reviews by people that wrote the, you know, the ones that say great, great, love it. I don't want that. Okay. When someone writes four paragraphs on something about coffee, you clearly understand this person is into coffee in this example. You can just click on their name right there and contact them on these sites. So it was all right there. In the case of Foursquare, it would have their social medias connected to them. So I would literally just connect with them on Facebook. I'd show my product. I'd explain how much I was impressed with their review. And that was it. Sometimes they'd get a 5-10% discount, but I was getting a smaller amount of people than I could if I just gave away the product for free. But the people I got were people that I have to this day. And these were people that were in place the next time I needed to launch something. So I really did it that way. That's really important to me too. I'm not going to launch unless I have the people in place offline, because I kind of feel like they're on my terms of service then. And gotcha. I can work with them. I can call them. They want to hear from me. Like, that's important to me.
So you create, was it an email list or a phone list? Or what are you creating?
Really big on SMS marketing. Like a good tool of mine that I've loved. I've used other ones in the past, but it's Slick Text. I have nothing to do with them. I just love the company. But right, like for example, I have a book club that I just started. I love reading. I read 5 to 8 books a month. Uh-huh. So to me, it's super important. But I like, for instance, if you text the word book to 69922, it'll send you the link to a book group that I like, totally free. But I have a lot of keywords like that. So if I'm at a farmer's market and I'm pushing something, let's use coffee again as the example, or whether it's a food product I'm selling online, and I'll just set up shop. I mean, there's some of these products I've done this with and I never even had to run ads. I spent a couple $100 in a tent and a smoker and some coffee and gave away some stuff and like text the word blank to this and hook them on subscribe and save, and we just roll from there.
Okay, that's awesome. And then that's how you get your initial reviews off of something that you're just launching.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah. Okay, that's pretty cool. I know text is becoming pretty big. We've been using it. We actually have a big experiment we're starting, I think, today or Monday, because it's Friday now, that we're going to be talking about. But that's really smart. That's very interesting. So you build up a list. How big of a list do you typically want to actually
launch
something? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess it does. It depends on the category. Coffee, accessories, and that thing is a pretty competitive category. I mean, nothing like supplements or actual drinkable coffee. But for coffee accessories, I would like to have something like 150 to 175 people.
Okay. And you can get that from just going to, setting up a little.
I spend about 3.5-4 months doing it ahead of time. Plus okay. I do my social stuff. So yeah, with that, without a problem, I can get that.
So you're building a list for the entire brand. So any coffee accessory that you come out with, you already have that list there, right?
Absolutely. So,
what do you use any assistants to do all this kind of stuff to actually build those lists for you? Or are you doing this all yourself?
As far as the email marketing and the automation and all that?
No, to get the actual initial list so that you can now easily launch new products every time you come out with something for the brand.
Well, once I connect with those people in the farmers markets or online or something like that, I have that list.
So what I'm saying, is that you always doing that, going out and connecting, or do you have people
in the beginning? In the beginning, yes. And it's something I'm still passionate about to this day. So I like being in people's faces. I like talking. I like, you know, I'm in Starbucks and I see somebody reading a book and I'm like, we read that last month. Text this word if you want to get it. Like I'm like that. So I love it.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, if I have an opportunity and I can convince my wife to let me go on a Sunday, I'm going to a farmer's market.
Cool. So Slick Text, that's your buddy. That's what you got to use, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the things.
Yeah, I love it.
All right. Now you mentioned something about Groupon. I don't know anything. I mean, I know what Groupon is. How do you use Groupon to your advantage?
I've liked to establish brick and mortar stores when possible or if necessary to help launch a product. It may seem like a little overkill, but again, it's just something that's worked really well for me. So if you have a store or I team up with, say, 10 stores throughout the U.S. and I let them know, look, I want to sell this product in your store through a Groupon. I'm going to give you this percentage. In exchange, I want you to obtain phone numbers and email addresses from the people you get on Groupon and get them to me. So they usually have no problem doing what. It's a numbers game. The more people you reach out to and the more intelligent you sound when you call these stores and make your pitch and can send them an email to do this kind of program, I'd say if I called 80 people, I'd get 10.
So okay, let me back up. You're contacting a store that has a product. Are we talking, let's say, a coffee accessory?
Say a coffee shop, a mom and pop, not like a Starbucks that needs all kind of corporate approval.
Okay. And then so you're going out on their behalf, and they're not related to you in any way business-wise, and you're saying, I'm going to bring you business, and I'm going to run this campaign. I don't know if you're telling them where you're going to do it, but you want them to capture this list, and that's what you're doing. In exchange for you promoting them, you're going to be getting this list that you can later use to actually promote? Is that what?
No, I send them my product and I let them know what I'm going to pay them in a flat fee or what I'm going to give them in percentage per sale, and that I'm going to set up the Groupon, and that I'll also find products that I know their store can benefit from through Groupon, and I'll offer to manage that whole thing for them. Sometimes I'll even offer to do like every door direct mail in their area and for free in exchange, where they would need to pay a lot of money to get someone to do it.
So you have this product, let's say it's a really cool, I don't know, it's some kind of grinder for coffee as an example. You say, can you put this in your coffee shop, and you're going to be there for, or somebody on your team is going to be there to handle the sales that are coming in on this, or?
No, if it's local, we'll go there on the initial day, but we'll set up we'll send them a display for them to put the stuff in, and we'll send them the product. We'll send them some information about the product, and then the person will have to check out at the store with that product.
Okay. And then you just get the leads. You make some, I mean, are you trying to like break even on those products just to generate leads, or are you actually trying to make money on it?
Breaking even would be nice. Usually with the Groupon deal, after Groupon takes their bite and the store takes their bite, you're at a loss.
Are you then afterwards, after you've got your initial list, are you using that store to continue to sell your stuff off of Groupon?
If they're open to it, most definitely.
And then do you have somebody that manages all of these relationships? Because I can imagine if you've got 50 of these things, it gets crazy, right?
Oh, a lot more than that. But yeah, it gets crazy. Hence the VAs. No, VAs, I couldn't do anything I'm doing without VAs. I mean, I have C-level VAs, manager-level VAs, and pods of other VAs. So without them.
All right. Are most of your VA, where are they located? Mostly in the Philippines?
There's a good percentage in the Philippines, but I'm in Pakistan and India.
Okay.
I have a lot of U.S.
Where do you find your VAs? How do you find them?
I love Upwork.
Yeah?
Yeah, I love Upwork for that. I constantly nowadays, I don't even create the job descriptions. There's a VA for that.
Of course.
So they do the job description. They can do the hiring. I have my processes in place. And if you create really good processes, you really don't have to touch it.
Okay. Do you use any kind of tools or anything to create these SOPs or anything like that?
I love ScreenFlow. Previously, I loved Camtasia. I like having like a video follow up for it. So ScreenFlow by Telestream, I like. I don't think it's one of the cheaper ones out there, but it's not too expensive. I think maybe like $250 or something.
Okay.
There's some free ones out there, though, that can do it. I think the Mac has something, QuickTime Player or something.
Yeah.
There's a bunch out there. I just think it's important to have a video recording of it, an audio recording of it, and text. Like, have all three.
Okay, cool. So how much do you think somebody should expect to pay for a decent VA if they get them on Upwork?
The price is going to differ if it's for merch. It's going to differ if they're just crunching data. Are they reaching out to wholesale suppliers? I have some clients that just, they're in a wholesale model and they just want tons of wholesale suppliers. So it's totally different. It also depends on how good the VA is. I like to treat them really well. Is it a manager level VA that's managing pods? So it really depends. Designers for merch, which seem to be the most popular now, anywhere from about $4 to $7, depending on what you want, including revisions and everything like that.
How many people do you actually deal with on the VA side?
I deal with four.
Four guys, four at the top.
I deal with four. I call them C-level VAs. I got it from a book I read on Amazon and Kindle a while back. I think it was Digital CEO or something like that. Mm-hmm. Basically a corporate level VA, and they handle the managers and the managers handle the pods. I'll meet with each of them virtually for 15 minutes a week, and the night before they'll send me a bullet list of what we need to go over. So okay. Otherwise you're gonna spend all day talking to VAs, and that defeats the purpose.
Do you do anything with social media?
I do. I'm a big Facebook guy and Facebook ads, and now for the last like 8 months, I'm just killing it with Messenger. Just, I guess it feels like when retargeting first happened, you can just see like 1800 to 3100% ROI on Messenger right now. So
what do you mean by Messenger? Are you talking about the bots that respond automatically through?
There's a bunch out there. I like ManyChat.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of great ones out there. I really like the comment to Messenger feature. I love using it in the meetups, everywhere. If I have a signature that's going somewhere, it's getting hyperlinked, and it's going to be a logic tree on Messenger. It's just too easy.
Okay. Yeah. I think that could be a whole podcast on itself, is like the strategies used with Messenger and these things, because
we'd need hours. I don't shut up. You're going to have to shut me up if we go to talk about that. I won't stop.
Do I have a commitment from you to come back on for that?
I'm down. You got it. Anytime with you.
We'll do that. Cause, we have limits on these, but, I definitely want to do that. Okay. So I imagine you have a VA that also handles the social media side of stuff for you in terms of the marketing for it, or no?
The ads I do myself. I have two people that mostly handle
something that you do yourself. All right.
Yeah. Well, some things that I do myself, and perhaps it's not the most proficient, as I love doing Facebook ads. I love handling as much of my customer service as possible. Uh-huh. I know you can sub that out. One of the easiest things, but I just love it. I mean, I love seeing an extremely pissed off upset customer that calls me, and I just feel like I can win this person over and he'll be an ambassador for my brand afterwards. So
awesome. Okay.
So customer service, my Facebook ads. I think there's like one or two more that I still do.
Do you have any habits or a habit that you have for your business that you haven't seen many others that are in this business have or do?
You got some good questions, man. habits that I got and that I don't.
Yeah, do you have a weird thing that you do maybe that people are like, oh, that's weird. Why do you do that? And you're like, oh, because of this. I can't. Because sometimes they'll do stuff. No?
I can't say that I do. In my work environment, we're all pretty lax.
Do you use advertising for launching your product? Like do you use PPC for the initial launches?
On Amazon? Oh, yeah. I bring everything to bear with a launch. Unless I have just a ridiculously good turnout with meetups and farmers markets. Meetups, one of my favorite. I mean, you can launch any tool. You create a meetup group and just, within 3-4 months, just kill. I don't know, I've done it with scuba equipment, smoked pork, insects. I mean, just anything you name, we'll create. I think one of the biggest in Miami, Amazon meetup groups. I have coffee meetups, book meetups. It's just there for the taking.
How do you promote these meetups? Let's say you have a coffee meetup. What are you doing to actually do that? How do you get a lot of people in one place real quick?
One of the beautiful things of that is that meetup promotes your stuff. So somebody wants to find stuff to do in your local area. They just, one of the spots people look is meetup, but I'll also in the beginning, if there's a business goal behind it, like my coffee one is really just, I love coffee and I love reading. So there's really no business goal behind that. It's just my way of having a life. But if there's a business goal behind it, I'll advertise the meetup on using Facebook ads, or I'll run an ad for the event.
Okay. Very cool. What has been one of your biggest challenges so far in this business?
Saying no.
Saying no to which stuff?
Too many opportunities. I mean, like I've been to China, I'd say over 40 times, and I just walk through the Canton Fair, and I'm confident that I can launch almost anything, and all of it has an upside, and there's a profit that can be made there. But then just having some time for yourself, and picking what's important. I have a tendency to put too much, take on too many new projects at one time.
I know the feeling. Yeah.
I'd rather get rid of half of what I'm doing and getting into podcasting like you. But I just,
there you go. All right. That's your next business. So, so that's your biggest challenge. Give us one. We always talk about successes, right? I always have very successful people on the show. What's been one of your biggest mistakes that you've made in this business?
Two biggest ones. One of them was that initial one was guy went by the name of Usman Cisse, huge fancy purchase order, sent me pictures that it was in a factory in Hong Kong. And I sent him all my money in the very beginning and he ripped me off. He disappeared. Oh, he didn't disappear. He came back and asked me for more money.
Oh, geez.
So that was a huge mistake. That almost made me fold it up and just walk away.
Yeah.
If not for the insect opportunity and some good friends around me, I think I would have just folded it up and I'd be an AC tech right now or who knows what. Besides that, another one of my big mistakes is I felt that just because you're friends with someone and you hang out and you have a good time does not necessarily mean you have the chemistry to be business partners.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of business partners and a lot of different businesses. So any of my business partners listening to this, it's not you, it's the other one. But it's real. Like you hang out, you have a good time, you have drinks, you have baseball in common or whatever. That does not mean you can be business partners.
Yeah, it takes a certain level of work ethic for people to really, especially right. with a guy like you that's working double shifts, essentially. You know, somebody that wants to punch the clock at, you know, from 9 to 5, it's tough. It's tough. So let's go back to your first one. What was the first one? The second one was partners. The first one was, the mistake that you made with the sourcer or the factory. How would you say somebody, what's a good way of vetting a factory? If they find somebody, they're like, oh, this is awesome. They're ready to send 25 grand to get things going. You've been to China so many times. What's a good way to actually vet them to know that you're safe?
Well, nowadays, my process just for approaching people overseas, whether it's China or anywhere else, is I don't contact them directly. When I first started doing this, mm-hmm. they sent free samples all the time. But Amazon and eBay sellers abused it. And next thing you know, there was courses about receive free products and launch your business. So they had to react to that. So they stopped sending free products. But to get that old dynamic back, I'll have my friends or my contacts on the ground over there, which you don't, even if you're starting from scratch, just reaching out to these people on Skype and offering to help them if they need anything over here can develop that relationship.
They
will call the factories for me on my behalf. Trade references, they vouch for me. At that point, the dynamic changes and usually the factory's contacting me. And when and that changes everything, you know, yes, opening orders are fine. Everything changes immediately. So once that happens, at that point, you'll have had several people on the ground contact and verify them. I'm really big about inspections. I have three main inspection companies that I use, but there's a ton out there that you can use. I like VTrust.
VTrust.
I've worked with them forever. And I let people know when we're creating our purchase agreements, which is another big point for me. My purchase agreements are about 10 pages. So it's really important that they understand that in all aspects of our business moving forward, it's not a trust thing. They will be inspected. There will be pre-shipment inspections. There will be occasional full factory audits. Who cares if the company exists and the factory exists if they're right. about to be bankrupt before your 60-day lead time's up?
Right. No, that's smart. So you mentioned VTrust. What were the other two? Do you have them off the top of your
head? Oh, God. I rarely use them, so I'd have to send them to you afterwards. I really only use them because if I constantly send VTrust, mm-hmm. and sometimes I'll have one of them stay on the factory grounds for like 30 days. I don't want them to wow. develop any relationships
with
them. And then, you know, instead of getting a D, I'll give you a C. I don't want that. So if it's really important, I'll send one of the other two.
What do you like about VTrust? Because have you used Topwind before?
I have heard of them. Yeah. I might have.
There's a lot of good ones. I've not actually seen reports or anything from VTrust, but what is it that you like about their stuff over the other ones?
I love that they have a presence in the U.S. They have an office in the U.S. That was a big thing for me. I like that they're frequently over here and then I can meet them. I've developed a really good relationship with the owner, David, and I constantly see him in the Canton Fair and every other trade show. I know his family. Those are the quality of the inspection, the quality of the report, very thorough. Okay. I can give an unlimited amount of customized or specific things that I want done, videos, specific tests. And they have a broad range of abilities for inspection, anything from, just because they're an inspection company doesn't mean they're equipped to handle, you know, chemicals or different types of metals and things like that.
Okay. Do you ever use trading companies versus going directly to the factories?
I think trading companies are really cool. Obviously, you're going to get the better price from the factory, but I tell people that when I first started, nothing wrong with a trading company to start. They're They're really big. They're really professional. You're probably going to have a better experience with them, and they're a good place to start.
Yeah, I find sometimes that the communication is usually easier with trading companies. Language barriers aren't as bad sometimes. And as you mentioned, if they don't have something, they'll try to get it. So they'll go out and reach out to other factories. So there's some pros to it. So man, this has been a lot of good information. I have just a couple more questions for you. Sure. We talked about what the biggest mistake would be. What would be your biggest win in your mind?
For me, a great accomplishment was getting into the actual Walmart stores. It's something I wanted way in the beginning. That was a big deal for me. And
physically in the stores, right?
Not physically in the stores, correct. And then my wife, meeting my wife, that's my secret weapon in my business. That was a huge win for me.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's about it.
All right. Well, good.
Walmart was huge.
Walmart. Yeah. Okay. I'm not in Walmart. I know that's the big thing for a lot of people. So, one final question here. If you could go back in time, talk to you, 10 years ago, just as you were getting into this, what advice would you give yourself?
One thing at a time. I would have told myself one thing at a time, and I would have told myself get into Kindle and all this informational products now. It took me years to start getting into Kindle and start using Kindle and eBooks to launch physical products and use them for lead generation. Mm-hmm. I ignored it for a while. I should have gotten into it. It's just.
Are you still using eBook or Kindle stuff right now for launches as well?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm not launching as much as I used to, but yeah, for people I'm working with, and yes, anything that I'm launching, absolutely.
Yeah, we got to have a part two. I've got notes here of stuff we've got to talk about and expand on. This, like you said, this could go on for hours. So it's really, really good. Anything you want to mention that I didn't touch on?
No, that's about it. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, finally. I know we finally got you on, and we ran into each other. We were scheduled to do this a long time ago, and I dropped the ball. I apologize. But I finally got you on, and it's awesome. I love your energy. You have just a ton of stories. I'd love to see get you and my buddy Kevin King in the room at the same time and have us all talking, because I think the dynamic
would be
really, really interesting. But thank you for coming on the show. We'll definitely have you back on to cover some things a little bit more in depth. And then, if people have questions, they can reach out to you.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Carlos.
Thank you so much, Manny.
Take care.
You've been listening to the AMPM podcast, hosted by Manny Coates. For more information, insider tools, and to get the resources mentioned in this episode, visit AMPMpodcast.com.